You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The Fantasy Sports News Desk, sponsored by New York Daily News.
Dot. That makes this the Fantasy News Desk, sponsored by the New York Daily News. I am Greg Sussman. For the next half hour, we're going to go over all the news that's fit to speak about here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Coming up next, DFS Today with Tony Cincotta, followed by On Target Fantasy with the all-in kid Jake Seeley, better Rich Hiardi, and Joe Pisapia. That comes your way next, but first, we go over some of the news in the sports world. We start with Monday Night Football last night, which for a while was a massive, massive blowout by New England, who at a time here led this one 16-3, then 23-3, and then all of a sudden, the Baltimore Ravens came on back. Mostly special teams blunders, but Baltimore wound up converting, and don't look now, but it's 23-17. And then, all right, 30-17. That's right. Chris Hogan happens. A bomb. 30-17. And then a field goal, all right. Fine. 30-20. No big deal. So now you need both. A touchdown and a field goal. What are you going to do? Fourth and one inside the 20. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to kick a field goal with 2 minutes left because you don't want the ball back and you play scared. That's how it works, and that's why the Ravens lose. 30-23, the New England Patriots improved to 11-2, tied with the Dallas Cowboys for the best record in the NFL. The Ravens, meanwhile, 7-6 now, and they are currently not in the playoffs. The Steelers are in first place with a monster game looming between these two longtime rivals, the Ravens and the Steelers, that comes up in week 16. And the Ravens on the outside of the wild card chase right now with Denver and Miami ahead of them. That is despite possessing the best defense here in the NFL. So what happened last night? Well, Tom Brady threw for over 400 yards in a pretty surgical performance for TFB. Three touchdowns, one interception. The biggest play, of course, was that almost 80-yard touchdown to Hollywood Chris Hogan. Five receptions, 129 yards for Hogan there. James White also had a big catch up the middle for 61 yards. He finishes with three for 81. Julian Edelman, 15 targets on the night last night. He had seven catches for 73 yards, while Martellus Bennett had four for 70 and a touchdown. Malcolm Mitchell continues his very, very hot streak here. He had four receptions, 41 yards, and a touchdown. The biggest surprise, I think, for a lot of people last night was the fact of how much success LeGarrette Blount had. Blount came in the leading touchdown scorer in the NFL this year, but he was facing the number one rush defense in the league, in the Ravens. For Baltimore, and for many fantasy owners, you did not like LeGarrette Blount here this week. You looked for other options, options that normally you really would normally quite avoid. But if you went with Blount, you have to be thrilled. 18 carries for 72 yards and a touchdown. That's a good enough game, right? I mean, that's getting you double-digit fantasy points. That is making sure he didn't disappoint you. And now LeGarrette Blount, I believe, is over 1,000 yards on the year, leads the NFL in touchdowns. Heck of a year for LeGarrette Blount, who, remember, was cut just a couple years ago, or just last year, I think, by the Steelers after the DUI incident, or not the DUI incident, the drug bust incident with Le'Veon Bell. Blount had success in New England, left, comes back, and continues to have success playing for Bill Belichick and for the Patriots. For the Baltimore Ravens, well, Joe Flacco threw it 14 more times than Tom Brady for 324 yards here. Two touchdowns, one interception, and it actually surprises me that Joe Flacco wound up with so much more, right? He wound up with 324 yards, yet I don't remember him throwing it down the field at all. It felt like every single pass out of the backfield for Joe Flacco went 5 yards. Now, I don't know what his longest pass play was. Actually, I figured that out. His longest pass play tonight was a 47-yard pass to Breshad Perriman, who has, I believe, the fastest player in the NFL, despite those injuries, right? I believe he's faster than Tyreek Hill. He's faster than Odell Beckham. But for the most part, this entire offense for Baltimore last night were these dinks and dunks, one read, go, by Joe Flacco. Quite a few of them were to Kenneth Dixon, who caught 8 passes from his running back spot. Good for 42 yards and a touchdown. And that was the only touchdown outside of a backup tight end named Darren Waller. Nothing for Steve Smith or Dennis Pitta or Mike Wallace. The final numbers for those guys, though. Steve Smith had 4 catches for 57 yards on 6 targets. Perriman, 3 for 52. Remember, he did have a 47-yard touchdown, 47-yard catch, I should say, which means his other 2 catches went for 5 yards. Wallace, 5 for 52. Kyle Juszczyk, 3 for 46. And Dennis Pitta, 4 for 18. Now, the reason you like Joe Flacco from a fantasy football perspective, you know, you get it from the NFL perspective. Obviously, he's won a Super Bowl. He's not afraid of the moment. He's not afraid of the throw. But the reason you liked him from a fantasy perspective now is because he's throwing the ball 52 times. My initial instinct when looking at Joe Flacco and reading about Joe Flacco and just watching him play is that I would not want anything to do with this guy on my fantasy team simply because he just literally doesn't try to throw the ball downfield. It doesn't matter who's guarding him, who's guarding the receivers. Whether it's Malcolm Butler on the Patriots or a guy like Chris Harris on Denver, it didn't matter. The entire playbook just says, instead of running the ball, just dump it off, just dump it off, just dump it off. Every single play. It's boring to watch from as a football fan, and it's just not all that exciting if you're a Ravens fan either, because they just don't go anywhere. But the reason you like Joe Flacco, as I said, 52 passes last week, or this week, 47 the week before. He has not had a game under 30 pass attempts all year long. He's only had 1, 2, 3, 4 under 40. That's crazy. And if you're going to throw the ball that much, the volume is there, which means he very well should be considered for your lineups, even if the playoffs have begun, which of course they have. Running wise, we said it back in August, and we waited for the moment for Kenneth Dixon to finally get healthy and finally take over this job in the Baltimore backfield. It's taking here until week 14, but it has seemingly happened. Dixon carried the ball 11 times last night for 39 yards, compared to just 2 times for Terrence West. 2 times, 2 yards for Terry West last night. Now, maybe it was because they were in a passing formation most of the game, but again, this has kind of been the mantra for Baltimore all year long. They don't really run the ball at all. But Dixon was in the game all night long. 11 carries, 8 receptions. Terrence West did have 4. But 8 receptions, 11 carries. And I don't know if this is a crowning of the brand new running back here for the Baltimore Ravens, but if you just look at how he's built, you look at how successful he was, and I have to think the ground game is going to get better in the future. If that is the case, then I think Kenneth Dixon is going to be somebody you're going to want on your team next year. You're going to want him on your team in the playoffs, and I think that you will be able to count on him moving forward. I like Kenneth Dixon, and I think you should too. So as I said, the New England Patriots now improve to 11-2, while the Ravens sit here at 7-6. Patriots are 3 games up in their division. I'm surprised they don't actually have a star next to their name. Like, they clinched it, yeah, but I guess we'll wait for next year until that. The Patriots have actually not even yet clinched a playoff spot, technically, but they're headed to the playoffs. Don't you worry. Dallas Cowboys, on the other hand, they have clinched a playoff spot at 11-2. For the Baltimore Ravens, they sit, as I mentioned, at 7-6, currently in 8th place in the AFC, behind the Steelers in the division, behind 1 game, and behind the Broncos at 8-5 for that last wild card spot, behind the Dolphins as well as a search for that last playoff spot. The Raiders sit in the 5th spot in the AFC, sitting here at 10-3. This week, a lot of primetime games for you around the NFL. On Thursday night, we get the Los Angeles Rams and the Seattle Seahawks. Then you get a Saturday night special with the Dolphins and the Jets. Sunday night, flexed in there, Dallas and Tampa Bay. Followed by Monday Night Football, a game between the Washington Redskins at home against the Carolina Panthers. So, four primetime games for you this week. And it's a monster week, of course, in the NFL. They actually try this year to get mostly division games and all good games. It hasn't happened, but a lot of these matchups, they did try to build around weeks 15, 16, 17 division games. As I look at the schedule, I guess it's not totally like that. But in week 16, as we fast forward, I think you'll see most of these teams face off against the division, which was the NFL's mission to make the division mean more. And as I look here, there's only four games that do not take place within the same division going forward here in week 16. So that puts a wrap up on week 14 here around the NFL. Hopefully your fantasy seasons are still alive. Hopefully the teams that you are rooting for still are playing for something. We take a break here. When we return, we're going to go look around the night in the NBA last night. It was a big night. We had a ton of games here last night, and we'll go through them and get you updated on all the scores. We had seven games to talk about. We'll give you all the scores and all the highlights coming up next here at the Fantasy News Desk, sponsored by the New York Daily News. News Desk, sponsored by the New York Daily News. Greg Sussman here with you, going for the next 15 minutes or so, bringing you up to DFS today, following this with Tony Cincotta. Last night, around the National Basketball Association, there were, as I mentioned, seven games in play, including a high-scoring affair between the Houston Rockets and the Brooklyn Nets. The Rockets win this one 122-118. And maybe it's quietly, but the Rockets here are now 18-7 on the year, 8-2, buying into what Mike D'Antoni is selling in Houston. It was the return to action, finally, for Jeremy Lin. After seemingly missing almost the entire season, Lin returned to the lineup here for the Nets. Did not get to start. Isaiah Whitehead still started this one, but Jeremy Lin played 20 minutes off the bench with 10 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, and those minutes are only going to go up. No setback for Jeremy Lin, which means things are going in the right direction for Brooklyn. Although, competitive, 6-17 there. They've only won one game away from the Rock here in Brooklyn, but nevertheless, good to see Lin back in the lineup. The Nets last night were led by Brook Lopez, who put up 26-2, while Trevor Booker continues to just have an incredibly consistent season with 10 points, 13 rebounds, and 4 steals for Booker. Sean Kilpatrick in the starting lineup had 17-3-2, while Isaiah Whitehead, in perhaps his final start for now, he had 13-5. For the Houston Rockets, led by, well, who else? James Harden, the Beard, 36-11 with 8 rebounds. Good news, turnovers kept under 5. That's pretty good for him. Harden finishes with under 5 turnovers. He had 36-11. Patrick Beverley, who I actually like right now. Beverley has 11 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, a steal and a block. While Ryan Anderson, 19-6. And his game, obviously, is mostly from behind the arc. He was 3 of 7 from behind the 3-point line. Eric Gordon continues to thrive in his 6th-man role. Gordon, 24 points. No rebounds, though. Just 1 assist and 6 turnovers. It's not going to get it done. But he is playing this Lou Williams-like role. He has been very, very consistent, almost dominant with that second unit. So you have to like what you're seeing right now from Eric Gordon, from EJ there. Nene Hilario, who you got to make sure he plays. You have to make sure he's playing. A lot of rest given to him by Mike D'Antoni. Hilario had 12 points, 6 rebounds, and just 2 steals. Remember, we should call him Nene, probably not Hilario. No one knows who we're talking about then. D'Angelo Russell and the Lakers fell to the Sacramento Kings 116-92. Kings improved to 9-15. Lakers have struggled here a little bit as of late. This was the second night of a back-to-back for them. The Lakers, over the last 10, are just 2-8. They have lost 7 in a row. With a team that was playing fast. They were having fun. They were having a good time. Lakers now have kind of dropped under 7 games under .500. So what happened last night for the Lakers? They had 17 points from D'Angelo Russell, and that was the most any of their guys had last night. That's not a recipe for success. 17-4 for D'Angelo Russell back here in the starting lineup. Second out of a back-to-back, only 20 minutes of time. But the biggest disappointment, Julius Randle. 28 minutes, just 2 points last night. Total 8 rebounds. Hopefully you did not start him on your DFS teams. Luol Deng, he's kind of hot right now. Luol Deng, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals. While you had off the bench, Jordan Clarkson, 15 points, 4 assists and 2 rebounds, while Lou Williams had 14 points and 2 assists. All those guys struggled. Brandon Ingram actually saw 26 minutes. He did not do all that much either. For the Sacramento Kings, Boogie Cousins boogied. 31 points, 16 rebounds for him, 5 assists, 2 steals, 3 blocks. Good night until you see the 8 turnovers for DeMarcus Cousins. He's got to be better than that. 20-4 for Darren Collison, 10-7 for Kosta Koufos. Garrett Temple off the bench, he had 16. When he was on the court last night, look at this number. I've never seen this before. He was plus 41. Holy crap. Plus 41 of action here for Garrett Temple. Aaron Aflalo finally got back off the bench here with Matty Barnes resting. Aaron Aflalo sees 13 minutes of action, gets just 3 points. Omri Caspi had 13, and Willie Cauley-Stein chipped in 8. The Portland Trail Blazers lost by 1 against the Clippers in a good game at Staples Center last night, 121-120. Good back and forth affair. Went down to the wire here. The Clippers were led by Blake Griffin, who put up just a monster game. He's had a fantastic season. Griffin, 26-12 last night, chipped in 6 assists as well. Chris Paul had 21-14-5. Those two guys continue to carry the Clippers, who, despite people calling out, they can't win the big one. There's always going to be problems. They lost, a big one to the Warriors a couple of weeks ago, and everyone said the Clippers were done. Here, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin has his team at 18-7, while J.J. Redick had 19 points. DeAndre Jordan only had 9 points, but he did have 12 rebounds, 3 steals, and 3 blocks. Luke Mbamute had 10 points as well. Ray Felton, 10 off the bench, 14-3 with Jamal Crawford, who isn't a high-ceiling guy, but the points will be there. The minutes will be there. So I like Jamal Crawford here going forward as a low-end option in DFS and in fantasy leagues as well. For the Portland Trailblazers, who are now 2 games under .500, in quite a disappointing year for them. I know they've had a couple of injuries, but certainly a disappointing year for them. 25-5 for CJ McCollum last night. 24-8-5 for Damian Lillard. Mason Plumlee here had a really good game at the center position against DeAndre Jordan. Plumlee finishes with 18 points, 6 assists, 7 rebounds, 5 blocks, 1 steal. Just a tremendous all-around game for Mason Plumlee. Mo Harkless, just 6 points, 6 rebounds. While Al-Farouq Aminu, he went from doubtful to questionable to game-time decision to starting last night for the Blazers. Aminu, in 21 minutes, scored 10 points, had 4 rebounds, and 2 assists. One of the problems for Portland this year has been the bench, and it continued to be like that. Evan Turner, Alan Crabb, the scorers off the bench, each were in double digits last night. 15 points for Evan Turner, 6 assists, 4 rebounds, while Alan Crabb had 13-2. Dallas defeated Denver last night, 112-92. The Denver Nuggets were led by 27 points off the bench for Nikola Jokic. 27-11-4 in 26 minutes of action here for Denver. 15 points with 6 rebounds, 4 assists for Jamal Murray off the bench last night as well. As for the starters, Emmanuel Mudiay put up 17, while Danilo Gallinari had 12-8. What are the other starters, the one you want to count on? Joe Nurkic, just 4 points, 6 rebounds in 18 minutes, while Will Barton had 5 points and 3 rebounds. He saw 33 minutes of action. That's not going to get the job done, Will Barton. He was minus 33 on the floor last night. For the Dallas Mavericks, 25 points from Wesley Matthews, who has really gotten hotter as of late. The shooting has been better, which really was almost half the battle, right? 25 points, 4 rebounds for Wes Matthews, 18-3 for Harry Barnes, 17 for Darren Williams, 17-8. Darren Williams has absolutely gotten it done in recent weeks. Finney Smith, he had a good game. He had 13-9 to 32 minutes of action here. Seth Curry, back from his injury, he had 10 points and 4 assists, while Justin Anderson had 11 and 6. The Miami Heat defeated the Washington Wizards by a score of 112 to 101. 30-8 for John Wall last night with 6 rebounds. Bradley Beal had 29 in the losing effort. The problem is, besides John Wall and Bradley Beal, they don't have much else, anything else. My guy, Markieff Morris, had 10-5 with 3 assists. Otto Porter only had 9-4, while Mason Gortat did not get it done on the shooting end of things, just 7 points, but he did finish with 10 rebounds and 3 assists. The bench for Washington, really, really thin right now. Not much doing there. In fact, they're not even playing very, very many minutes. All 5 starters saw 32 minutes of more or more of action last night against Miami. Speaking of teams that are injured, the Heat are getting healthier here, probably at the right time. The Heat, led by Goran Dragic, is 34 points in just 31 minutes, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, while Hassan Whiteside had 17 points and 16 rebounds. Wayne Ellington chipped in 11. Rodney McGruder, still starting, saw 30 minutes of action. He scored 7 points. So what about the guys you normally like off the bench from Miami? Their version of Jordan Clarkson and Lou Williams? Well, Tyler Johnson had 11 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, while Josh Richardson continues his return from injury, 29 minutes for him. He had 10 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists himself. Toronto defeated Milwaukee in a bit of a blowout, 122-100, at least it's a high-scoring blowout. For the Toronto Raptors, they were led by exactly who you'd expect them to be led by, DeMar DeRozan. DeRozan, 30 points, 3 rebounds, and 3 assists, while Kyle Lowry had 18 points and 7 assists. Jonas Valanciunas had 11-13, while Damari Carroll, back from his one-game absence because it was the second night of a back-to-back, they rested him the first night. Here in the second night, 13 points, 7 rebounds for Carroll. Terrence Ross had a monster game off the bench. He put up 25 points and 5 rebounds here. For the Milwaukee Bucks, 30 points for Giannis Antetokounmpo. The Alphabet, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals to go along with that 30-point line. Jabari Parker, their other superstar, he had 27 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists. Problem for Milwaukee is it's really just only those two guys. 11 points there from Greg Monroe off the bench. Again, not really doing much outside of Antetokounmpo and Jabari Parker. The Bucks now fall to 11-12 in the Eastern Conference. The Raptors sit at 17-7. And if you look at the standings quickly, you have the Raptors in Cleveland. They're just so much better here than everybody else, right? Cavs 17-5, the Raptors are 17-7, and everybody else is kind of jumbled. The Knicks currently sit in third, oddly enough. Knicks and Bulls both have 10 losses, and you have the Hornets and Celtics both have 11. Then you get down to the Pacers and the Pistons. One team at 13-12, that's the Pacers. The Pistons sit at 13-13, Hawks 12-12. And just like that, the Bucks are actually outside of the playoffs looking in. One more game here from last night. That was the Indiana Pacers defeating the Charlotte Hornets by a score of 110-94. The Pacers, 22 points from Paul George, 5 rebounds and 3 assists, 22 points, 7 rebounds from Miles Turner, and it's always good when Miles Turner gets going. Turner also had 4 blocks here on the night. Jeff Teague, great game as his really excellent season continues. 16 points, 11 assists, and 5 rebounds for him. Thaddeus Young, who you thought was going to get it going over the weekend, he had a monster game over the weekend. 9 points, 5 rebounds, and an assist there. Off the bench, Rodney Stuckey had 14-4. C.J. Miles had 11 points. And no Monte Ellis last night. It was interesting to see that Coach Nate McMillan kept C.J. Miles on the bench, coming off the bench. He likes him in that second unit. He only had 19 minutes, while Glenn Robinson III got the start for Monte, only put up 3 points and 6 rebounds. But those 33 minutes of action, very, very telling in a game that you had the Hornets win by 16. Remember, Monte Ellis inactive in this one with an injury. For the Hornets last night, they were led by, well, 14 points from Marco Bellinelli off the bench. That's not going to get it done. Just 13 points from Nicholas Batum, but he did have 10 rebounds and 3 assists. 13 points for Marvin Williams, 2 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 steals. One name I haven't mentioned, Kemba Walker. 4 of 16 from the field last night. He had just 12 points and 5 assists. And then the other guys, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist had 6 points and 10 rebounds. Cody Zeller had 8 and 7. Frankie Kaminsky, after getting really, really hot for a while, just 6 points, 4 rebounds. He is now droppable in season leagues. Coming up next, it's DFS Today with Tony Sincala, followed by On Target Fantasy with Jake Seeley, Benny Ricciardi, and Joe Pisapia. Until tomorrow, my name is Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for listening to the Daily News sponsored Fantasy News Desk here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Have a wonderful rest of your day.